يا ابن المرسلين حبيب اله العالمين ابو القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه واله وعلى اهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. شهر رمضان الذي انزل فيه القران هدى للناس ببينات من الهدى والفرقان. السلام عليكم brothers and sisters, and thank you all for organizing this, and especially the moderators and brothers who are helping set up this these lectures. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you, and taqabbal Allah amalakum. This is a great time for us, the holy month of Ramadan, a month of blessings, mercy and forgiveness, which opens the door for us to be close to Allah and to correct ourselves, improve ourselves. The topic for today is really in keeping with the theme for this holy month of Ramadan, which is nurturing our soul. This is what this month is about: nurture our soul, tazkiyatun nafs, improving our soul and correcting ourselves. To just highlight the importance of this topic, we can remind ourselves that for any person to achieve success in this life or in the other life, he has to or she has to have a good controlling mechanism. A person who does not have good self-control will have problems in his life or in the hereafter. Success of this life is interconnected, intertwined with the success in Akhirat. Success in this life, I don't mean the material success, I mean the human success. Success as human beings, perfecting ourselves, making ourselves better human beings. Wealth and property and fame and fortune are not necessarily correlated with human success or human perfection or closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So human perfection is achieved through self-control. Now this idea of self-control, it reminds us of two things. One is doing good things, and the other is abstaining from bad things. If you look at yourself, if I look at myself, you will see that generally doing good things comes a bit easier comparing it with avoiding bad things. For example, it's easier for me to do something good than to avoid something that is wrong, right? We can say a lot of good things, but when we run into a situation where there's, you know, unlawful conversation, backbiting, I don't know, expressing jealousies or abusing, or for example, slandering someone, or this is about speech, actions, for instance, doing something, using our eyes in the wrong way, or actions. So abstaining from wrong things is harder. And abstaining from wrong things is taqwa. Of course, taqwa also involves doing our obligations, but the exercise of taqwa, which is more important, especially in relation to this holy month of Ramadan, which is that part, abstaining from the haram things. Al-wara'u an maharimillah. Because that is the harder part. If we can abstain from the wrong things as a result of fasting in this holy month, then we have achieved the objective. Because this month is meant to empower us. This month is meant to empower us to abstain from wrong things. That's what this month is about. How is it? Well, the very instruction to fast. fast means abstaining from things, right? A number of things, haram things and even certain halal things. And then, for example, during the course of the day or during the night, we have been asked to do some recommended things, some prayers or du'as or acts to remember Allah. These are things, you know, these are recommended actions. But what is required is abstinence. And what makes it easier for us to, for example, keep ourselves away from riya, showing off, right, pretension, in this month, is the very nature of fasting. Because fasting is not like an action which speaks for itself. For example, it's visible. It's not like salat, when you stand up to pray, everyone can see you praying. Fasting is not that way. Fasting is something you are doing, but people do not know about it until you tell them, or until they ask you and you tell them that, yes, I am fasting. Well, until that time, it's something pretty much concealed inside of you. It's your intention to fast. But what does that tell you? It just tells you that, you know, it's to facilitate this empowerment with regard to abstinence from haram things. Abstinence from, so it's self-control, building your self-control, increasing your self-control, so that you will, so that we will, you know, achieve the objectives of Islam. Personal objectives, first of all. Of course, the most important thing that a person has to start with is to build some qualities in oneself. And when that is achieved, then the expression of that in the society, in the environment around us, of course, that comes into play automatically, because then a person, you know, he does what is inside of him. In Farsi, there's a saying, as kuze birun taraovad onche dar ust. From a vessel, if you pour, whatever comes out is what was inside the vessel. You cannot pour something from a vessel which was not inside of it. You pour something out, what was contained in the vessel itself. So if a person is filled with good qualities, then as he performs in the society, talks to other people, leads other people, does anything, of course, those actions are manifestations of those inner qualities. In light of this discussion, this, you know, brief tamheed, this introduction, at the honor of presenting, I would focus on this one very important thing, because it's about abstinence, and we find it harder to abstain from wrong things, or abstain from, you know, those bad inner qualities. That's why we need to find a way to correct that part, which is harder, which this month is for. One big, you know, quality, which vice, which Islam has prohibited in the sense that asked us to get rid of in ourselves, is what we find in one of the famous sermons of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in Nahjul Balagha. I've chosen this sermon for today to just briefly highlight some parts of this the sermon. It's called Khutbatul Qasi'ah. It's 234th sermon of Nahjul Balagha, Khutbatul Qasi'ah. It's about pride. But what leads us to do all these wrong things? It's our, you know, ego. It's about our love of ourselves, self-conceit. It's about this ujub which leads to pride. Well, where this ujub comes from? Ujub is you loving yourself. That means you considering yourself, thinking highly of yourself. That's ujub. Focused on yourself, being focused on you. See, some people always talking about themselves and always worrying about themselves, always thinking of their self-interest. Well, all this leads to pride. when they show themselves as better than others, when they remind others of how good they are. For example, I remind others, na'uzubillah, of how good I am. So pride comes from love of oneself, being focused on yourself, and then in a negative way. And that comes from something that's pretty natural in all of us, that we like ourselves. Since we like ourselves, well, we care for ourselves. We care for our education, our well-being, our all those. So there's nothing wrong with this like of yourself only. But when you put too much into it, that means you water this tree of liking yourself too much. Then it becomes a stronger, and it turns into ujub. Love of yourself, that means the self-conceitedness, egotism. That means it's focused on yourself only. That you are only concerned about your interests, your mafad. What is it? What's there for you in everything? And even when a person is doing ibadat, he's thinking about what benefits he gets from it. He's not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that leads to pride. When this leads to arrogance, that means is looking at, you know, how he is better than others, and of course that's arrogance. And this pride it manifests in many ways. Look at ourselves, for example. We show our connections to people, you know, we boast about our connections to people. Which family we are from, which group we are from, which political group we are from, or we pride ourselves with other things that we have. You know, sometimes people pride themselves with money. Of course, that's a big thing. Children, family, economic status, and other things. So those become excuses to be more arrogant. Pride is in oneself, and then it's sometimes justified through all of these different ways. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he talks about in this longest khutbah of Nahjul Balagha, the most famous khutbah of Nahjul Balagha, which is Khutbatul Qasira. Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam was in Kufa, he delivered this sermon, and it's called Qasira. Well, one reason qasa'a, it means to put down something. Since Imam is putting down shaitan in this sermon, how arrogant he was, and why, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him, and how he failed in the test. The other reason why it's called qasa'a is because qasa'a is the movement of the mouth of a camel. Apparently Imam Ali al-Islam delivered this sermon from a back of a camel. When he was in Kufa, he spoke to the congregation, the group, the large group of people gathered around him from the back of from top of a camel. So probably when he was speaking this, just like the camel, you know. But Arabs have a way of describing things with adjectives and all that. But whatever be the case, why it's called Qasira, Imam Ali alayhi salam is saying, pride is a covering Allah has chosen for himself. He is the proud one. Kibriya, Izzah, is something Allah has kept restricted for himself. And he has not allowed anyone to enter this harim, enter this sanctuary that he has made for himself. Kibriya. Kibr, you know, kibriya and greatness and pride is something Allah has reserved for himself, has not allowed. Now, how does it relate to Maha Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan? Well, holy month of Ramadan is to break our pride. It's to break our pride. In one part of this sermon, where Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions that how Allah has legislated, you know, how he has given these instructions for prayers, for fasting, for zakat and other things to bring down our pride, to humble us. So the essence of fasting, the essence of ibadat is to humble ourselves. If in all our actions if we are mindful of our own arrogance and pride, how we speak to others, what we say, how we do our actions, how we conduct ourselves, you know, even in what we wear and how we behave, we see, are we expressing pride? Because it's very common, it's so common that people don't even realize it. It's not always spoken. For example, people's connections with the group around them and how they show themselves as better than others, especially in terms of clan and racial, ethnic, and clannish and tribal and family connections, that's where it comes out most. And people usually, they make their decisions based on what others around them are doing, like their brothers, their family members, or their clan, their ethnicity, their demands from them. They do those things. They don't do things based on their haq and batil. They don't make choices because their choices are right. They make those choices because everybody around them is doing it, because it's considered good by others. That's why people make those choices. Even when they make a masjid, because this is a family project, they do it. If they do charity, it's because this will bring him a good name for his family. Now, you may not be aware of it. So in the same connection, Imam is mentioning Mujahadat al-Siyam fil ayyam al-mafrudat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this struggle, this mujahada, this jihad of fasting in the appointed days to bring calm and tranquility to one's self and one's body and limbs and all parts of one's body, and to bring khushu to their eyes. Khushu in your eyes, humbleness, khushu towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa tazleelan li nufusihim, and to bring zillat to their own souls. In terms of nurturing our soul, the first thing one needs to do is break down the soul. Break this pride in the soul. This nafs is ammaratun bisu. This nafs which is pushing us to do wrong all the time. The first thing in our self-improvement is to break this, this power of this inner soul that is pushing us and is not letting us achieve anything. وَتَذْلِيلًا لِنُفُوسِهِمْ وَتَخْفِيدًا لِقُلُوبِهِمْ خَفْض. That means our hearts should consider itself small. The yearning, the desires that come from inside, they have to be calmed, they have to be composed, they have to be controlled. وَإِذْهَابًا لِلْخُيَلَاءِ عَنْهُمْ, to put aside, to get rid of the pride, khuyala, from the people. This word khuyala is again in the same sense of pride and arrogance. You know, people show their arrogance in many ways. But this confusion about, you know, what sort of dress a person, especially for men, for example, this thing, some people have misunderstood this idea of, oh, you should not wear long clothes because, well, long clothes is against Sunnah of Prophet. So some people wearing high shalwar and high clothes because they say in Hadith that they wear, that's been the condemnation of wearing high long clothes. Well, because they did not understand the last part of the Hadith. It's talking about wearing long clothes to express your arrogance over others. Long clothes, expensive clothes to show arrogance. It's not that, for example, Islam has prohibited wearing long clothes. No. So when they misunderstood the Hadith, it's about humbling ourselves. It's about breaking this pride. In all these different ways, fasting, salat, one should ponder in the meaning of the salat. Understand what it is for. And humble oneself. spend more time in sajda. When the salat is finished, remember Allah through the zikr and ta'qibat, but spend time in sajda. Sajda is something that breaks this pride and brings forgiveness for these sins. Imagine this burden you are carrying, we are carrying on our backs. Sajda relieves us of this burden. So, one thing we can start our work, you know, on ourselves is to understand that this issue of pride, how seriously it's affecting us. In the beginning of this sermon, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he talks about, you know, the fact that he tests people in ways that they don't realize. For example, on this issue of pride and kibr, he tested the angels. And to see who is humble, who is mutawazi, and who is mustakbir and arrogant. So, and he was aware of what's in their hearts. Not like Allah wanted to test them, like he didn't know the condition of the angels or the condition of Iblis. No, he knew it very well. He wanted them to come out. He wanted this to become known. فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ. Well, in Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن تِينٍ. I have created Bashar, human, from clay. So, when I create him, when I complete his form, when I put my spirit into him, then you all fall down. He's addressed the angels. You all fall down in prostration. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And they all fell down in prostration. كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. Except Iblis. Well, what happened to him? اعترضته الحمية. غيرت حمية. You know, I am someone. Who is he? This high regard for himself. فَافْتَخَرَ عَلَىٰ آدَمْ بِخَلْقِهِ. So he showed his pride over Adam, over his khalq. Now what was he saying? He was saying, I'm made from fire, he is made from clay. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ali goes on in the sermon and says, well, if Allah wanted to create Adam alayhi salam with the brightest of material, you know, and most beautiful appearance, if Allah wanted to create this form of Adam alayhi salam with the most fragrant, most beautiful perfume that he could have done it. Lafa'ala. There was nothing stopping Allah from creating Adam alayhi salam from something better than clay. Well, we don't want to get into a discussion of whether clay is better or fire is better. That's something else. That we can take that up somewhere else. But right now, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wanted to make the creation of Adam alayhi salam in the best possible forms, in terms of even visibility, even what it appears to others, right? He could have done it. Brightness in a way that it will the eyes will be filled with the brightness of Adam's creation, his material substance with which Allah created him. Well, he could have done that. But if he would have done that, well, what would have happened? Well, everyone would have unanimously accepted the greatness of Adam and all would have fallen down in prostration. But then one thing would have happened. وَلَخَفَّتِ الْبَلْوَى فِيهِ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَ. The test would have been very easy for the angels. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ ابْتَلَى خَلْقَهُ بِبَعْضِ مَا يَجْهَلُونَ. But the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests his creation, tries them in ways that do not know its basis. مَا يَجْهَلُونَ أَصْلَهُ. They don't know the basis of this test. What is this test about? They're not attentive. They don't understand the basis of where it's coming from. تَمْيِيزًا بِالْإِخْتِبَارِ لَهُمْ. So that through this trial, he will distinguish between one and another. He will know who is humble to me and follow, and who has got this arrogance. وَنَفْيًا لِلْإِسْتِكْبَارِ عَنْهُمْ وَإِبْعَادًا لِلْخُيَلَاءِ مِنْهُمْ. Well, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, learn a lesson from Iblis, that he worshipped Allah 6,000 years. And Imam Ali says it is not known whether the 6,000 years are the years of this dunya or the 6,000 years of akhirat, which will be a lot, lot more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed all his actions because of his arrogance of 1 hour. Sa'atin an kibri sa'atin wahida. Then how would anyone be saved after Iblis, after doing the same sin which Iblis did, showing his arrogance over another? Well, and kalla, why would Allah enter a person into paradise for something that he punished an angel with? Well, Iblis had joined the ranks of angels, although he was a jinn, kana min al-jinn, the Holy Quran says, but he was in the company of angels. Well, Allah punishes an angel, destroys, basically deletes all his good actions, all his worship for one thing. And why would he accept this one thing from a human? His rule for the dwellers of the heaven and the dwellers of the earth is the same. He has made no exceptions. Neither is there any sort of relationship between Allah and his creation. So that by virtue of that relationship, he might make it halal, acceptable for them to violate his sanctity, you know, violate the sanctuary that he had made for himself. This kibr, this superiority, this greatness, pride, is exclusively a domain Allah has kept for himself. He said, I'm not going to allow anyone to enter this, or challenge me, contest me, stand against me, confront me. Imam al-Islam says, so be careful, O servants of Allah. Be careful of that enemy, that he will not inflict you with the same germ, with the same disease of pride, because he is standing close to you, ready to shoot an arrow at you, already aimed it, already pulled the arrow all the way back. Right? And he has challenged, رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, O Lord, because you misguided me, I am going to decorate what is on the earth for them, and I am going to mislead all of them. Right? Of course, there was exception. So, although Shaitan, Iblis, was not sure that he'll be able to achieve this goal, he just shot in the dark, you know. Iblis had no knowledge of the future, he just guessed. It was his calculation. قَذْفًا بِغَيْبٍ بَعِيدٍ. It wasn't like Iblis knew what will happen in future, or he is going to misguide all that he wanted to, and not be able to misguide some. Well, not be able to misguide some, there are some exceptions to Mukhlaseen. But regarding the people, how many people he'll be able to misguide, he had no knowledge of the future. But what happened was, all the people of arrogance, all the people of asabiyat, and this ta'assub-e-qawmi, racial pride, ethnic pride, pride related to language. I speak Arabic, I speak so-and-so, I speak Farsi, I speak good English, I speak whatever. This, all of this. These people with such pride, you know, they proved him right. He had just guessed it. He shot an arrow in the dark. He wasn't sure he's going to achieve this objective. But these Abna'ul Hamiyya, these Ikhwanul Asabiyya, and these riders on the horses of Kibr and Jahiliyyat, these people who are riding the horses of, you know, of pride and arrogance and ignorance, they proved Iblis right. Well, what happened? Well, of course, they followed him, and they achieved his goals for him. And Imam warns us not to fall in the same trap. That means not be like him, and not follow the elders of your clan, not follow people because they are senior to you, because they are more aged, because they are more respected in the society, respected because of their connections, because of their fame, because of their property, because of some connection, racial, ethnic, whatever, or their background, they've done so much. Well, that means you follow them blindly. No, no such thing. Well, then Imam Ali alayhi salam, he brings this very important point here. He says there were people who showed their pride, and they had some reason, and it was a wrong reason, but it was a reason that would fool an ignorant person. You know, for example, in society, if a person has a lot of wealth, and well, he shows his pride because of his wealth or because of his, you know, large family or children or something like that, right? But Imam is addressing the people of Kufa, and that's a lesson for all of us. He says, you all are showing this pride over nothing. Imam is seeing their pride in themselves not because of this wealth, because they are essentially, they are driven by pride, not because of their money. They behave with proudness, without any excuse, without any reason. That means this is their nature. This has become the nature of the people, that they are proud, whether they have any money or not. Whether they have any children, any kind of connections, their nature has become such. They think they're right. They think they should get it their way. They should achieve their means, their ends, any way they want to. It's about themselves. See, right now, all of you are living in a Western society. This individualism, you know, this is all about what Imam Ali is saying. Well, egotism, individualism, you know, everyone for himself. There are some philosophies also they have created around it. They say that, well, everyone is different. Every human is different. They say everyone is defined by his own, you know, experiences, his own ideas, viewpoints, policy, whatever, you know, principles. But no, Islam doesn't see it that way. Humans are all the same. But yeah, something comes from outside and destroys a person. It's not like people are different creatures. For example, elephants, cows, I don't know, zebras, they are different creatures. No, human beings are not all different. They are all the same. But their qualities makes essential differences in them. And those are because of the choices they make. Whether those are moral vices or virtues, whether they are choices in terms of their actions, those choices define them and change their inside, and they become something else. But in this world, we are all the same. We are born gifted with the same potential, gifted with the same ability, and you know, the same power in ourselves that we can achieve. We can decide, we can achieve it. Well, this individualism, which is about I, and who am I, you know, who I am, and what I want, and what I should do. Well, this is playing havoc in our communities as well, in our lives, in our families. Everyone is thinking of himself, it's about what I want. And it's not about, you know, what is right anymore. What should be done, what should not be done. Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. ألا فالحذر فالحذر من طاعة ساداتكم وكبرائكم الذين تكبروا عن حسبهم. Whether people, because of their connections, they show pride. There are others who show pride without any excuse. So you see, we have to, now how, this example Imam Ali al-Islam gives, and briefly give this example. Imam Ali al-Islam said, did you see how Allah tested Fir'aun? Well, Prophet Musa and Harun were directed by Allah to go to Fir'aun. اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. right? He is becoming arrogant, he is doing injustice. Go to him, Izhab. Well, then by the order of Allah, Prophet Musa alayhi salam took Harun with him. So what were they wearing? They were literally wearing rags. They had a wooden stick in their hands, you know, nothing really of consequence. They just walked into the palace of the Pharaoh. Even today, if you visit Egypt and you see those palaces of the pharaohs of Egypt, a person is, you know, awestruck, you know, overwhelmed with this greatness of this, the construction and the design and everything, you know. So, with all the glamour of the court of Pharaoh, just imagine that, and Musa alayhi salam and Harun just walked right into the palace in the court of Pharaoh and stood in front of him, and they addressed Pharaoh and they said, if you believe in us, then we promise you the survival of your kingdom for you, that you can keep your power if you listen and if you obey us, then you can enjoy it, you can stay in power if you believe in us. In what we say, we are messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, Fir'aun, he looked at them, at the height of his power, looking, sitting on his throne, he looked at these two people standing in front, two persons standing in front of him, and he said to the people around him, he said, aren't you amazed? Look at them. Look at them, what they look like, what their appearance is, and what they are saying to me. They are telling me, they are promising me that I will stay as the king if I believe in them. So he underestimated the value of the fabric they were wearing, underestimated the you know, their style of dressing up, how they looked, how they presented themselves in material terms, and he looked down on it with contempt. And that was his test. See, Allah tests us in ways we don't know, based on about things that we are unaware of. We think this is... The Iblis was tested. He was not tested for his Iman or Kufr. Fir'aun was not being tested for Iman or Kufr. He was tested for his pride. Tested for his pride. And we are tested for our pride too, in different ways. In our situation that we have in our lives, that's what we are being tested. And he failed in that test. Well, he lost his kingdom. So we may not be aware of the test coming our way. So we can be aware if this fasting can affect us in a positive way, that we look so deep into ourselves. We cry so much in the presence of Allah. We look at the essence of what Quran is about. Allah has not praised anyone for his arrogance. Allah is Ibadur Rahman Yamshuna Alal Ardi Hawna Wa Idha Khatabahum Al Jailun Qalu Salama. He praises people for their humility. Humility in their clothes, humility is their what they eat. Humility in their prayers, humility, you know. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. He said this prayer is very hard, is very tough, except for people who are truly humble. Whatever praise has come in Quran is about that. For believers who are like that, they share يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Wherever in Quran. And those, and why we are directed to follow Ahlul Bayt is because of their humbleness, their dutifulness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zakat is for this, fasting is for this, the Islamic instructions are about this. This is the core of the Islamic, you know, teaching. And this is what the du'as of the Mahi Ramadan, Dua Abu Hamza Somali, Dua Sahar, Dua after the Salat that we do, Ya Ali, Ya Azim, Dua Iftitah at night, and other duas in this month, we have been instructed in this month to perform, you know, whatever good we can to others. Because we need to, because you see the effect of the sawab of reading one verse of Quran in this month of Ramadan is equal to the reading of holy Quran, the whole of Quran. Why is that so? One may ask oneself, you know, why is that? Ask one verse is equal to the, because the effect of reading one verse in this month on our soul is equal to the effect of reading the whole Quran in the other days of the year. Because of this abstinence, because of fasting, when your stomach is empty, when you're abstaining, you're not watering this tree of pride in this month. You're not watering this ego. You're not encouraging yourself. You're not making yourself go in the direction of your nafsi ammara. Just this much that we are able to do, that the spirit has become so alive because of this much of ibadah, the basic ibadah that we do, that it enables us, it opens our hearts so much that even reading of one verse of Quran, you know, can impact us so deeply. And that's why with some goodness, you know, with some piety, that is, some piety, small acts of goodness are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is pious and is God-fearing and is good inside, his small actions are acceptable. You don't have to give a whole treasure for charity to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be a good person. You just have to abstain from certain things. Then small acts of goodness will take you a long way. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in this month. Build this humility and tawazu in ourselves. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala ta'ala. Allahumma salam.
Thank you very much for that.
How can we sustain what we have achieved in this month? For example, we have improved our morals in this month, how can we sustain this? You know, look at ourselves, what we have built in this month, and then you will understand how you will sustain it. You have built a certain level of taqwa in yourself. Well then, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Usikuma bi taqwa Allah wa nazmi amrikuma." Then plan for taqwa. Usikuma, I advise you, O Hassan, O Hussein, I advise you for taqwa. I advise you to observe taqwa. And I advise you wa nazmi amrikuma, to organize yourself. To organize yourself. Taqwa has many features. Taqwa in yourself, taqwa in politically taqwa, not being associated with, despotic people, tyrannical people, or oppressors. But taqwa is political taqwa. Taqwa is an economic taqwa. For example, do not consume things which are unlawful. Taqwa is in relation to other people, you know, in how you deal with them. Those are things we need to just plan it. Well, there are things which your mind cannot figure out on its own. So you take direction from Sharia. There are things your mind can understand. Well, this is something I should not say. But if they don't do it, we should not do it. Things we don't understand it, those particulars, the details, will get. So continue with a plan for the rest of the year. Plan for what you will eat, what you will, who, what kind of people you associate with. See, you cut down on certain things in Maha Ramadan, and keep that alive. You know, you cut down on certain ways you used to speak. Well, remind yourself. You know, the best way to do it was at night time. But sit down and like, okay, hours of the day. Well, 6 o'clock I stood up for Salat. 7 o'clock, what did I do? 7 o'clock. What did I do? 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock. Just go over what you did in the day. What I do during the day, remind ourselves, hour to hour, what did I do? Whatever wrong I did, say astaghfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And decide that tomorrow I'm going to fill these pockets of this day, these, you know, these hours of my day with good things. And do istighfar, remind yourself, istighfar, Allah has promised, you know, istighfar, tubu ilallahi jami'a. And He's also said, if you abstain from the greater sins, I will do away with the smaller sins. In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhauna anhu, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atukum. If you keep away from the big sins, I will do away with the, wash away the smaller sins that you have done. This requires a plan. If we have become organized in this month, well, we can stay organized. We can stay. It's like a course you attend, in a course you learn some skills and you exercise and you you use those skills the rest of the year. Just like your building your skills in yourself for your job. Well, you learn those skills, so you practice it at your workplace. You learn to type, increase your typing skills. Now you use that typing skill, for your work. Similarly, you improved reading Quran. Well, alhamdulillah. Well, continue reading Quran. Continue reading. If you have not read it today, read it today, like in after Ramadan, you know. So, just planning those things, because in this month, well, some things are achieved by plan in this month, some things are just achieved because of the barakat of this month. This month brings certain barakat you didn't foresee. You didn't know that you will be able to do so much. You might have been successful in doing certain things without having planned for it. They just came your way and you did it. You were encouraged by the people around you. You were encouraged by the environment. Just tawfiq from Allah. Allah put something in your heart and you felt like praying. Well, now you have become aware of it. So now you can do it consciously, you know. I could add something, you know, Brother Mohsin. If just this much encouragement about being close to Quran in this month. Well, if we just decide that we are going to learn the language of Quran. Like, personally, I am focused on this. Through our courses online, through almehdi313.org, we are offering courses on Quran. This one thing if you take with you from this month. This one thing. We have students all ages in our class. If you just, why it's not impacting, why Islam has not entered our hearts? We have entered Islam. Islam, I'm talking about myself, entered real Islam, real Iman, is because I'm not, you know, closely connected with Quran. Well, if anyone wants to be really into Islam, then learning the language of Quran is very important. Take short courses in Quran, learn the language of Quran. If you, it will affect you. Know the language of a book, the book will speak to you. You will absorb it. It will affect you spiritually. Your actions, your namaz, everything will be affected. So, So it is iftar time here as well. Inshallah, taqabbalallahu amalakum. I'm in Qum right now. I'll make dua for all of you. Yes. ALMAHDI 313. Inshallah, see you all. Stay safe and get the best of this month. And pray for me as well. Inshallah. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Inshallah.
Will be uploaded soon.